Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
I believe that nicotine is not addictive. Remember that? Hard to believe that that was what seven big tobacco execs said under oath before Congress in 1994, but they did not get away with it. And Mike Moore, then the Attorney General of Mississippi, was instrumental in making sure of that. He led the national tobacco litigation effort, resulting in the largest class action settlement in history, $246 billion. Now he's turning his attention to big pharma and opioids. And he joins us right now from Tallahassee, Florida. He's a private attorney in private practice now in Mississippi. He's pushing for a class action lawsuit against the pharmaceutical industry for misrepresenting the addiction potential of opioids. Mike Moore, thanks very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Good to be with you.
You think you're going to get this thing off the ground?
There's no question. It's already off the ground. We represent three states, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Ohio, which is extremely impacted by the opioid epidemic. And there are seven other states who have filed individual lawsuits. So these will be individual lawsuits. They won't be a class action lawsuit. Just like tobacco, each state will bring its own individual case. But it's growing. If you'll remember back, Tom, in tobacco, I filed the first case in 1994, and then it took me almost 2 years before I had five states in the litigation. So this one's moving a little bit quicker, although I would have to tell you this epidemic, you can't move quick enough. The difference between the tobacco issue and this issue is that, you know, you smoke a cigarette today and the disease process starts and may not hit you until 20, 25 years. You take too many of these opioids today and you die. So, there's some real immediacy, real emergency to this epidemic, and we as lawyers and the attorneys general of this country are trying to do something about it.
Who do you sue in the opioid case? Who do you go after?
Well, you know, there are a myriad of defendants, Tom. The primary defendants you guys have been talking about all morning, the Sackler family and the Purdue Pharma Company that were the makers of OxyContin and actually are the ones who grew this opioid epidemic. They, started this back in the late 90s. Doctors were real reticent to prescribe opioids because most of those back in those days were, you know, morphine sulfate, like that MS Cotton drug that you talked about, and some of the oxy drugs and hydrocodone drugs. And doctors just were reluctant to prescribe those. But Purdue came out with this drug and told everybody there was less than 1% chance of becoming addicted, and they started hiring all these doctors and putting forth all these false studies, and they grew this opioid market so large that not only did Purdue jump in with both feet, it caused all the other opioid makers to jump in. So you sue the manufacturers. You also sue the distributors, the folks who, frankly, deliver the drugs to the various CVSs and Walgreens and that, because they, you know, they'll find a little town in West Virginia that has 800 people, and they'll get an order for 2 million pills, and they actually deliver it rather than stopping it that the law requires, because that's pretty suspicious. It wouldn't take a genius to figure out that there's no way to distribute 2 million pills in a little town of 800. And if you drive down there, you'll see, well, there's a pill mill there, and there are people from 10 different states just, you know, in line waiting on buying their prescriptions from the doctor and then going and filling it. So those guys, and then, frankly, some of the drugstore chains made some stupid mistakes along the way, and you know, the Sackler family too. You know, we're looking right now really hard at some naming some of those guys personally in this lawsuit, and if we can come up with enough information, and we actually have some right now that connects them directly to the you know, misdeeds back in the 90s and early 2000s. So there's a lot of people at fault in this thing, plenty of fault to go around.
What kind of information would make Sackler family members vulnerable to inclusion in this suit or targets?
Well, I read an email last night that I've had for the last 10 or 12 years. I've been looking at this problem since back in 2004 and 2005, and it was an email that one of the doctors there at Purdue sent to all the Sackler family and to the other officials. I mean, even Raymond Sackler and Richard Sackler and Jonathan Sackler and Catherine Sackler, and lots of them were on the email, and it basically talked about how OxyContin didn't have the abuse deterrence that they thought it had, that there were people who were out there abusing it in their trials that they had. They didn't tell that to the FDA, and you know the FDA was duped into allowing them to go forward and market that drug. They also have proof that they knew that it didn't last for 12 hours. You know, they kept telling people, look, you can sleep all night with this drug and just take two doses a day. And truth of the matter is it only lasted 6 to 8 hours. And so people were duped that way, too. And then the third problem was is that there's no real study that ever shows that using opioids for chronic pain over a long period of time actually works. People actually become tolerant to the drug, and it really doesn't decrease the pain. Sometimes it actually increases the pain over a long period of time. So these guys really pulled a fast one, not only on the FDA, but on the American people, and now they're spreading it to all the other countries in the world.
Mike, you had this gigantic success, $246 billion with cigarettes or tobacco. How does this legal challenge around going after the opioid industry compare with the tobacco litigation challenge? How's it like and unlike that?
Well, you know, you started out with how it's like. You know, the tobacco executives denied the three big lies, we call them. They denied that nicotine was an addictive drug. They denied that using the product caused cancer, and they denied that they were actually marketing the drug to children. And then in the opioid epidemic, you know, they denied that it was an addictive drug when truthfully everybody knows that opium and opium byproducts are addictive, but or at least they should know. And they told doctors, look, we've got this great new drug, and it's continuous release, and therefore, you know, it delays the absorption, and people won't get addicted. Turns out, you know, big lie, and you had your callers there that, you know, actually got addicted to OxyContin and then went on to heroin. And then basically what they did is they went out and did the craziest thing. They went out and hired the doctors themselves and, you know, educated them to the point that, hey, it's okay to go out and prescribe these things. And matter of fact, we'll give you 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 to be on our speakers bureau, and you can go spread this, you know, this nonsense all across the country. And then they created things like the American Pain Association, the American Pain Foundation, and went on websites and told the users out there, the customers, that, hey, your pain is undertreated. It needs to be treated. If your doc won't prescribe it to you, go to another doctor. So they created this whole market out there. And it's one of those things that, look, there are a lot of people who genuinely have pain who ought to be able to get their prescriptions, and it absolutely takes care of end-of-life type pain. It takes care of cancer type pain. But if you get a tooth pulled, you don't need OxyContin. If you have a knee surgery, you don't need OxyContin. I mean, you need a 2 or 3 days of some light opioid, maybe just Tylenol, and then you're okay. Get some physical therapy. But people get hooked on this stuff. The other thing they did, which is crazy, is they came up with this idea, the Sackler family did, that there's this something called pseudo-addiction. People aren't really addicted, you see. They just think that they're addicted, and all you really need to do is to give them more. If they're taking 10 milligrams, give them 20 milligrams or 40 milligrams, and that'll take care of their pain. So, and I guess the last thing they did was they blame all the misuse on abusers. In other words, they're saying that there's no way for anybody to get addicted to this taking it legally. It's only those people who abuse it, who crush it, who snort it. And it turns out that 75 to 80% of the people who get addicted are taking the drug just like a doctor prescribed it. So very similar to the tobacco issue. The one difference I pointed out is there's just really more immediacy to this. There's probably 50 to 60,000 people who will die this year because of it. Tobacco kills 450,000 people a year, much larger companies. Mm-hmm. So these companies don't have the same kind of money that the tobacco industry did, but believe me, they're killing people at a rapid rate. So I'm just trying to get the country focused on it. All the AGs are trying to get the country focused on it. Maybe we can do something about it and stop the dying.
In the case of the Sackler family, Mike, does their very extensive philanthropy help protect or defend them somehow?
Good. You know, Tom, that's a great point. I mean, you know how people are. If a family's out there and they're putting their name on all the big, you know, hospitals and the various wings, the children's hospital and the like, people, there's a lot of goodwill that goes along with that. I think what they've creatively done, though, is they've avoided where the money came from. The story, which your author who just talked about, the Sackler family, wrote a great article in Esquire, and I think there's a great article in the New Yorker right now, yes. Similar. And I tell you, it's a story that needs to be told. You got three brothers who are psychiatrists. They're all doctors of the mind. and they end up creating a drug that gets everybody in the country addicted. I mean, so, the final bell needs to ring on this thing. People need to realize that these folks, at least they're morally liable. Whether all of them are personally liable or not is a question. But in my view, they're morally liable for creating this opioid epidemic, and they absolutely should start doing something about it immediately. You know, instead of putting your name on a hospital or, you know, giving some money to an art museum, why don't you establish a rehabilitation center and a treatment center in every state? And we'll be having those discussions with them soon, I hope.